We are holding on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Most of the action in today's daf is on Amud Beis. We have all the Hanukkah sugyos on Amud Beis, so I'm going to try to move a little more quickly through Amud Aleph than usual this time. Says the Gemara on the top line, Tanu Rabban, we have a Braisa. All of the items that we went through yesterday that we said you're not allowed to use for Neir Shabbos, Aval Osin Mehen Madura, one is allowed to make a large fire out of them. Bein Lischamim Kenegda, whether you want to use that fire, that large bonfire, for warmth, bein l'shtamish la'ora, whether you want to use it for light, bein al gabe karka, bein al gabe kira, whether you light that fire on the ground, or you light that fire on top of a kira, on top of a stove, v'lo asru, elo lasus men psila, l'ner bilvad. All of these things that we said you're not allowed to use, you're only not allowed to use them to be a wick for a candle, but to be used as part of a larger fire is not a problem. As Rashi says, of los men madura, hesed gadol, she'echad mavir chaveru, even things that don't take so well to the fire, when it's a much bigger fire, will get consumed in the fire, will get consumed by the fire, and therefore there's no problem. V'lo b'shemen kik, and we mentioned in the Mishnah, one of the types of oil you're not allowed to use is shemen kik. Rashi points out, shemen shel of echad nosim b'ner v'dolik, a certain type of bird, it seems like. So it says the Gemara, my shemen kik. What exactly is shemen kik? The Gemara is going to have three opinions. Opinion number one, Amar Shmuel shel tinu l'kol nechus hayam va Amar li, I asked all the people who travel by the sea, and they told me that what's shemen kik? Of echad yesh b'krach hayam v'kik shemo, that there is a certain type of bird. Its name is kik. So the oil that we get from the fats of this bird, Rav Yitzchak Pared Rav Yehuda Amar, second opinion, mashcha dekaza. It's cottonseed oil. That's what it seems to be. That's how Rashi seems to translate. Shemen sha'osin migarine tsemer gefen, from the seeds of cotton seeds, from cotton. So cottonseed oil is shemen kik. Resh Lakish Amar, third possibility, kikayon de Yona. We know in the story of Yona, at the very end, he has this kikayon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes for him, some type of tree that provides him with shade, and apparently that tree is able to produce oil. So if we have a tree similar to that tree, the kikayon de Yona, so the oil from that tree is shemet kik. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, l'didi chazili kikayon de Yona. He says, well, I've seen the kikayon de Yona, and I can identify exactly what it looks like. Ulitzluliva dami, it looks like a tzluliva tree, some other type of tree. Umidapashki rabbi, and it grows in swamps, va'alpum chanusa madlun yasei, and people hang it by the entranceway to their stores. Apparently it either provides nice shade or a pleasant aroma or something that attracts people to come into the store. Umafritziduhi avdi mishcha, and from its seeds we can make oil, and that's probably how you get shemen kik, from the kikayon de Yona. Uba anpui neichen kol brichei d'barava, and its leaves provide rest for all of the sick people of Eretz Yisrael. Fine. Amar Rabba, psilo shomer chacham min maligim behem b'shabes m'nei sha'or misach seches behem. All of the items that we identified in the first couple of lines of the Mishnah as wicks that you're not allowed to use for Shabbos candles, the reason you're not allowed to use them is because the light jumps on them. It's misachseches ben. Says Rashi, kimin sakin peguma misachseches bebasar. Just like a knife that has a nick in it doesn't go smoothly across your flesh, so this or doesn't take smoothly to the wick. It seems to be more jumping on the wick. But when it comes to the oils that we identified that one is not supposed to use for Neros Shabbos, it's because the oil doesn't, the fire doesn't go after the oil very well, doesn't connect to the oil very well, and you may come to tilt the candle in order to make the oil connect better to the fire that's on the wick. And obviously tilting the candles fraught with the possibility of both a violation of Mechaba primarily and perhaps also Havara. Let's say you have oil that you're not allowed to use for Neiros Shabbos. Can you add a little bit of kosher oil, of oil that you are allowed to use for Neiros Shabbos, and then use it? Meaning if you have a mixture of oils, some of the oil is the oils that we identify in the Mishnah as no good, other oils are good, can you mix them together and use it? The Ritva points out, obviously a shemen kol shehu isn't going to do very much. If you have mostly oil that doesn't really work well, and then you add a shemen, let's say olive oil kol shehu, it's not going to make the oil that doesn't work well really work all that well. So the Ritva says it means that any amount. Over here the word kol shehu means any amount that will make it work, depending on what kind of oil you're using that doesn't work, and what kind of oil you're using that does work, and how they interact with each other. So there may be different amounts and different ratios that will make it work. But let's say you find the ratio that works. You find a way to mix two kinds of oil, and it's going to work. It's going to light very well. Can you then do that? Do we make a gzeira that you might come to light the oil be'en, to use purely the wrong kind of oil? Or do we make no such gzeira? Samalei in madlikin. He said, no, you can't use it. My taima, why not? Lefishe madlikin. Because you can't use it. So that's a little bit of a difficult answer. What does that mean? The reason is because she'in madlikin. So in the Hagos Fetzionim, on the bottom of Gemara, points out that kolomar kabbalah hikach she'in madlikin. Quotes from the Gileon that we have such a Kabbalah, meaning we don't have an explanation, but we don't need to have an explanation because we have a long-standing tradition that ain't madlikin. Rashi writes lefi shein madlikin meinayu v'gazrinan ha'atuha, that since you know, that lefi shein madlikin doesn't mean because you can't, it means because you can't use this oil, the wrong kinds of oil, when you're using 100% of the wrong kinds of oil, so we make a gzera that you also can't use any percentage of the wrong kinds of oil. That's what it means, Lufishein Madlikin, because we have Ein Madlikin in our Mishnah on these types of oil, so therefore even when you mix them with the right kinds of oil, it's still going to be Ein Madlikin. You're still not allowed to use them. So the Gemara is going to have two challenges. Challenge number one, Eisevei. Karach Dover She Madlikin Bo, Al Gabi Dover She Ein Madlikin Bo, Ein Madlikin Bo. If you wrap something that you're allowed to light with around something that you're not allowed to light with, you're then not allowed to use it. Rabbi Shumum Lialomer, Shal Beis Abba, Yukorchim Psil Al Gabe Egos, Umadlikin. He said that in my father's house, Rabbi Shumum Gamliel's father's house, we used to wrap a wick around a nut shell and we would light with it. So Katani Mias Madlikin, you see, according to Rabbi Shumum Gamliel, they were allowed to light with it, even though it was a combination of two things, something that you are allowed to and are not allowed to light with. So don't you see that the combination is okay? So Amalei, the Gemara says, wait, how do you figure that you could challenge and ask a kasha from Rav Shimon Gamliel when the very brisa that you quoted had a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel? The Tanakama said it wasn't okay. So I'm like, the most of us limid Rav Shimon Gamliel siya inu mid the Tanakama. So instead of challenging based on the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel, why don't you bring a raya that we're correct that you're not allowed to mix two different kinds of oil based on the sheet of the Tanakama? How could you ask it as a kasha? Says Gemara, holo kasha, maisa rav. Now Rav Shimon Gamliel is much stronger over here because Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't just state a halachic opinion. Rav Shimon Gamliel is a maisa rav. He tells something that was actually done. A lot of times you have tanaim that will say something in the Beis Medrash, but if it was never presented halacha lemaisa, so it doesn't carry quite the same weight that it would carry if they were confident enough to actually paskin that way halacha lemaisa. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says this was my father's minug, so it's a maisa rav. It's a much stronger raya. Mikol makom kasha, my love lahadlik. Nevertheless, we still have our kasha. So now we have our kasha. Now that we understand why Rav Shimon Gamliel is stronger than the Tanakama, we have our kasha. That isn't he talking about that in his father's house they would mix two different things and light with them? So that's a kasha on the shita that it said that you're not on Rabba's opinion, who said you're not allowed to light with two different items, one that's good to light with, one that's not. So it says more lahakvos. Who says there's anything to do with lighting? Maybe the role of the egos in Rabbi Gamliel's home was not to light the egos, but rather to support the wick, to float the wick on the oil, like, you know, they used to have. You don't see them so much anymore. They used to have for Neros Chanukah these little floaty wicks that you could stick the little wick into the little floater and it would float. Now you just have the ones that are prefab, that are pre-made already with everything already done for you. But they would have this thing that would enable the wick to float better in the oil. That's the role of the egos. The egos wasn't being used to actually light. So, frankly, Mari Ila Hakfos, my time in the Tanakama. Well, if that's the whole role of the egos, then what's the Tanakama's problem with it? Why does the Tanakama say it's no good? So, Kulur Mishunglam Lielhi, there is no Tanakama. All of this is a reflection of the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Chesura Mechzur Vahachik Tani. And this is the way to read it. Karach Dover She Madlikin Bo, Al Gavei Dover She Ein Madlikin Bo, Ein Madlikin Bo. That Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that if you wrap something that you are allowed to light with something that you're not allowed to light with, you're not allowed to use the combination of the two. Medvar Mamurim Lahadlik. That's only if you're trying to light with both items, that a mixture is no good. Avala Hakvos Mutter. But if you want to just float the wick on something and you want to use, let's say, an egos to float the wick, that's Mutter. Sher Raman Shimmingam Lielomer Shalvei Saba Yukarchum Sila Al Gabe Egos. So we quote a Maisa to support that. And the Maisa is, Raman Shimmingam Liel says, from his father's house that they used to wrap the wick on top of the egos. So that was one challenge where we tried to challenge Rabbah and it didn't quite work out. The second and final challenge to Rabbah, three lines before the lines get wide. Eini v'hamar Rav Barona amar Rav chelev mehutach v'kirvei dogim sheni mochu adam nosin l'toch Hashem kol shu'um madlik. If a person has fats that have been melted, or kirvei dogim, the insides of fish that have been melted down, that have been liquefied, a person could put oil, a little bit of oil into it, and be madlik, even though you're normally not allowed to be madlik with the fats, with chelev, and with the kirvei dogim. The Mishnah said, lo b'chelev, nevertheless, you put a little bit of oil into it, and now you're allowed to be madlik. So this is a clear raya against Rabbah. This was exactly Rabbah, the Shaila Abaye asked Rabbah, are you allowed to mix a little oil into something that our Mishnah said you're not allowed to use, and now light the combination? So it's a clear raya. So says Mar, no. Hani mimshchi beinayu, v'hani lo mimshchi beinayu. There's a big difference between the chelev and the kirbei dogim on the one hand, and the other oils that you're not allowed to use on the other hand. The chelev and the kirbei dogim actually work fairly well. See, chelev that's melted down, that's liquefied, works quite well as an oil. The only reason you're not allowed to use it is because we're afraid if we let you use the liquefied fats and the liquefied kirvei dagim, you'll come to use the unliquefied fats and kirvei dagim, and that's what doesn't work well. We don't want you to use the liquefied kirvei dagim, lest you use the unliquefied kirvei dagim, the solid kirvei dagim, where it's not going to work as well. So that's why there's no such gezeira that you're not allowed to use a mixture that contains liquefied chelev or liquefied kirvei dagim. Mm-hmm. So, Frank Lamar, why not make an additional gezeira? Why don't we make a gzeira that you're not allowed to use a combination of liquefied chelev together with shemen? Atu, you might use just pure liquefied chelev. And we know the Mishnah says you're not allowed to use that. Granted, why are you not allowed to use it? Because you might come to use unliquefied chelev, but still, why don't we make this gezeira? Answers the Gemara, because he gufa gezeira. The fact that you're not allowed to use the liquefied chelev and the liquefied kirvei dagim in the first place is only a gezeira. Va'na nekum v'digzor gezeira l'gezeira. So what? We should come and make a gezeira l'gezeira. The very first part was a gezeira anyway, so we're not going to make a gezeira l'gezeira. When Rabbah said that you're not allowed to mix oils with the items that are mentioned in the Mishnah, we're talking about those items that are mentioned in the Mishnah that are directly usser, that are usser because they don't take well with the fire, they don't do well with the fire. So that's only one gezeira. But to make a gezeira that you're not even allowed to mix it with liquefied chelev, which does take well with fire, which does burn very nicely, only because you might come to use pure unliquefied chelev, that's too far-fetched, that's a gzera, we're not going to go that far. The Tosi Shonim on the side of the page asks a very strong kasha. He says, Vim Tomar, Akati have a gzera l'gzera. What do you mean? We're not going to make a gzera l'gzera? It's still a gzera l'gzera, he points out. Muhutach atu she'ino muhutach. Why are you not allowed to use these oils that don't burn so nicely in the first place in the Mishnah? It's all a gzeira shemayata, that you might come to tilt the candle. So the whole thing's a gzeira. Everything mentioned in the Mishnah is a gzeira. So any additional gzeira that we make, by definition, is going to be a gzeira l'gzeira. How can we say with a straight face we're avoiding gzeira l'gzeira? Everything is a gzeira l'gzeira. Everything we're saying is a gzeira l'gzeira. Don't use this oil, lest you come to be mate. So whenever we say, don't mix anything with any of these oils, it's a gzeira, lest you use the oil pure, and so that's a gzeira l'gzeira. So says the Tos Yishanim, two answers. He says, it could be that, no, it's not that you might come to be mate, it's that you will chab to be matzah. So that's not really a gzeira, meaning that's definite. That's something that's definitely going to happen, because the only way to get it to burn properly is to tilt it. So that doesn't even count as a second gzeira. V'rivan pirish ta'adamar le'el nimshach anachar apsila lo mishum shemiyata el shemiyachave v'lecha shalom bayis. He says, no, the concern is not gzeira shemiyata, it's a takana that they made that the fire will go out because you're not going to be mati, you're not going to lean the candle, you're not going to tilt it, the fire is going to go out, and then it's going to be chisaron and shalom bayis. So that concern that the fire is going to go out is not a gzeira, it's just a concern that the fire is going to... A gzeira would mean to something that would prevent you from doing an iser. This isn't to prevent you from doing an iser, it's to prevent you from having shalom bayis issues when the light goes out. That's the whole purpose of Ner Shabbos, is to create a sense of shalom bayis. So those are the two answers of the Tos Yishanim. Now, the Gemara makes it sound like, well, we have one gezeira, so we're not going to make a gezeira. The gezeira makes it sound like it's a svara, that why would we make a second gezeira? Because it's illogical to keep on making gezeiros on top of gezeiros. Rashi, Maseches Beitzah, Daf Beis on Beis, says, no, there's a source for not making gezeira l'gezeira. Pasuk in Parshas Achareinu says, "Ushmarta mishmarti." So we know, we learn from that pasuk that we're supposed to make a mishmeres. We're supposed to make a gezeira for the Torah, but v'lo mishmeres l'mishmeres. But we're not supposed to make. We darshan. Rashi says it's a drasha. We make a mishmeres l'mishmarti to Hashem's Torah, but not a mishmeres to the mishmeres to Hashem's Torah. So it sounds more like a drasha and not just like a svara. The Rambam in the Akdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayis writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah as a general rule to make gezeros as a siyag l'Torah, and the Ramban in Parshas V'eschanan also says it's a mitzvah min HaTorah. And so the Rambam and the Ramban both seem to be assuming that it is a din d'oraisa, that it's not just something that we came up with on our own, that we're supposed to make gezeros. It's a mishmeres l'mishmarti. The Tshuvas HaRivash, however, says, nah, that pasuk is only in Asmachta. Tshuvas HaRivash, Simreis Adidalin, says it's only in Asmachta, because if it were really a din d'oraisa to make gezeros, then every gezero would be min HaTorah. Every gezero would carry the weight of a din d'oraisa. So he says, why is it that we don't make a gezera l'gezera? We're not going to make a gezera l'gezera, because then there would be no end. Then everything, slowly but surely, we chip away at every permissible activity, and there would be nothing left that you'd be allowed to do. So that's why we have to draw the line somewhere. We have to make the limit somewhere, that it's got to be one step away from a din d'oraisa. It can't be more than one step away from a din d'oraisa. Okay. Says the Gemara. Tani Rami Bar, meaning Nafkamina, might be whether it's an Isser to make a Gzera L'Gzera, or it's just something that Rabbanan were nohig not to do because it was unwise. If it's a Pasuk, so then it's an Isser to make a Gzera L'Gzera. They're not permitted, they're not authorized to make a Gzera L'Gzera. But if it's a Svara, so then whatever the Svara dictates, if the Svara dictates that it's a worthy Gzera L'Gzera, then maybe the Rabbanan are allowed to do it. But if Svara dictates that it's not a worthy Gzera L'Gzera, then they wouldn't be allowed to do it. Tani Rami the oils and the wicks that we say that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to use those oils and wicks in the Beis HaMikdash, because the pasuk says lahalus ner tamid, it has to be consistent fire, and these do not create a consistent fire. Now wait a second. In the Mikdash, how many different types of oil did they use? Well, for the menorah, you had to dafki shemen zayis. There's only one kind of oil. So why are we saying psilos ushmanim, oils in the plural? It should be psilos ushemen that we say in maldikin bad b'mikdash. So all of the achronim ask this kasha. If you go in the back of the Gemara, pretty much everyone who comments in the back of the Gemara asks this kasha, that in the mikdash there was shemen zayizach, and that was it. There were no other shmanim. So in the mitzapa eisan, he says that no, aside from the menorah, there were other neros in the mikdash to light the place up. So we're talking about those other neros that they would use to keep the mikdash lit. So that's what we're saying, they would use other oils for those. So that's the shmanim. The Rabbi Chananel writes psilos shamru chachamim, and he's not even goreis shmanim. Miri also writes that shmanim, we only say the inyan, we don't say the menorah, because menorah is just shemen zayizach. The Mara Cohen in the back of the Gemara quotes from a yalkut in Parshas Tetzaveh, where the yalkut's not goreis shmanim, and he says maybe it's a tal sofer over here that was nafal based on a confusion with the Chanukah sugya, because we're going to discuss whether the oils that we say we're not allowed to use in our Mishnah, are we allowed to use those oils for Chanukah. So since these sugyas are back to back, so we confuse the Chanukah sugya with the Beis Hamikdash sugya, and maybe that's how it happened. The Pnei Yeshua suggests no, it's coming to be Mimayit in the Mishnah, not just it's coming to be Mimayit Shemen Sreifa, where you're not allowed to light Shemen Sreifa B'Mikdash. So even if you hold the that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, because it's you're being maybe Lidei Psul, because it's Asr Ba'ana, and you're not allowed to use the R. So maybe that's what it's referring to. That's the plural of Shmanim. Anyway, back in the Gemara, so we say any of the oils or wicks that we said that you're not allowed to use in the Mikdash, that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to use in the Mikdash. Because you want the flame to be self-sufficient. It shouldn't require any support. We don't want you to have to support the flame in the Mikdash. So they would use the worn-out clothing of the Kohanim to make wicks. So don't you see, they would use to make wicks from the worn-out clothing of the Kohanim that includes Kalayim, and part of Kalayim is wool. So Tzemer was used, but yet it says that you're not allowed to use Tzemer for Neros Shabbos in the Mishnah. So how could we be allowed to use Tzemer for the Neros in the Mikdash? And so Gemara, Simchas Beis HaShoeva Shaini. No, that's for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that's different. Rashi points out, Teloksiv Lahalusba V'lavdo Raisihi. It doesn't say by Simchas Beis HaShoeva Lahalusba, and therefore it's not Doraisa. So that's why for Simchas Beis HaShoeva you're allowed to use even these lower quality wicks, and that's why they were allowed to use the big day kuhuna. And then Nimukei Agriv in the back of the Gemara, he says, Lule Divrei Rashi, had Rashi not said that that's the pshat and why Simchas Beis HaShoeva is shiny, he would have said Simchas Beis HaShoeva is shiny, because if you look in the Gemara Sukkah, they didn't light Neros for Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they lit these massive fires for Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And when you have a very large fire, you can have lesser quality wicks. It's a huge fire, it's going to burn it anyway. So the Gemara says in Sukkah that the lights of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva were so great that a woman was able to be borer chitim from very far away from her own house from the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. If you look at Tosus, if your Tosus raises the question, Tema hechi shari lahadik v'alav tzorech korban hu. Wait a second, how were they allowed to use the big day kuna to light the big day kuna? It wasn't tzorech korban. V'arim perek basu de kiddushin, perek veiz de kiddushin, big day kuna shabalu molin behen. Worn out big day kuna are subject to meila. You're not allowed to use worn out big day kuna. So why are they allowed to use them for the lights of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? V'docha glomer leiv beiz in mas aleim, temat tzorech yesh lahen lahasnos b'shvil zeh. And it's hard to say that the leiv beiz in mas aleim, that they were makadish the big day kuna with the tenai, that they would be able to be used for burning at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva later on, because why would beiz in do that? Just get wicks. Eina niyu smoka mashiris. Why would they skimp by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? V'nira l'ri, the whole kavod hakarbon ha'yosin d'chsiv v'sha'afta mayim b'sason, tzorech karbon chashav lei. So says the Ri, it is a tzorech karbon. It didn't directly aid in any karbon, but why did they make a Simchas Beis HaShoeva? The whole reason they had this entire celebration with all this light was because of the Shoeva, u'shafte mayim b'sason, was because of the karbon. So that's all called tzorech karbon. What about the fact that the Gemara says that a woman could be borer wheat with the light of the Beis HaShoeva? Isn't that an unwarranted hana'a from Kodesh? How is she allowed to use that light to get hana'a from? So he says, Lo shaisa boreres, el shaisa yichola livrar. We're just trying to express in that Gemara how light it was. We're not saying that they would actually be borer chitim with the light of the Beis HaShoeva. We're just saying there was so much light that they could have. However, the Yerushalmi draws a different conclusion. The Yerushalmi says, no, what you see is using the vision, a visual of Hagdish is not called Hana from Hagdish. So using the light where they're able to see better, that's not a violation of Hana from Hagdish. Okay, next challenge the Gemara has. Tashema, Titani Rabba Bar Masna, five lines from the bottom of the page. Titani Rabba Bar Masna, Big De Kuna Shabalu, Mafkino San, Umehen Hayu and psilos the Mikdash, that the big day kuhuna they would use to make the wicks in the Mikdash. So my love the klayim. So again, aren't we talking about the shatnis begadim that they were making wicks with, which includes wool? Says Gemara, lo the boats. No, we're talking about the begadim that didn't have any shatnis, the pure linen begadim, and that's why they were able to make wicks out of it. Amar Rav Huna, Psilus Shmanim Shomer Chacham Ein Madigim Mem Shabbos, Ein Madigim Mem Chanukah, and so starts the Chanukah sugya. The same oils and wicks that we said you're not allowed to use for Shabbos, you're also not allowed to use for Chanukah, Bein B'Shabbos Bein B'Chol, whether it's Shabbos of Chanukah or whether it's a weekday of Chanukah. Amar Rav, my time at Rav Huna, why does Rav Huna hold that you're not allowed to use these oils or wicks for Shabbos of Chanukah or a weekday of Chanukah? So there are two shittos that he holds, one that disqualifies using it on a weekday of Chanukah, the other shita that disqualifies, the other idea that disqualifies using it for Shabbos Chanukah. Kasavar Kavsa Zakukla. First thing he holds is that if Ner Chanukah goes out, you have to relight it, you have to fix it. And the second thing is Umutul Lishtamish La'ora. He holds that you're allowed to use Neros Chanukah. So the first shita that Kavsa Zakukla is a reason not to use these oils during the week, because really the halacha is you're going to have to relight it, you're not yotzei the mitzvah if you don't, so we don't want you to use an oil that's likely to go out, lest you forget to relight it, or lest you be negligent and not relight it, and then you're not going to get the mitzvah. So if we held kafsa ein zakukla, that you don't need to relight it, so you get the mitzvah anyway, so we're not so worried if it goes out, because either way you're going to get the mitzvah. But if you hold kafsa zakukla, then you shouldn't use this during the week, because it may go out and you won't get the mitzvah. Mutal Lishtamish La'ora is going to tell me not to use it on Shabbos, because if you're allowed to use Chanukah light, you're allowed to use the light, and it's a bad light, so then there's a greater concern that you might come to tilt the candle, and on Shabbos that's going to involve a malacha. So that's why you wouldn't be allowed to use it on Shabbos. Rav Chista Amar, Rav Chista says a second shita. Madikin ben b'chol avalo b'Shabbos. You're allowed to use these things on the weekday of Chanukah, but not on Shabbos Chanukah. Why? So again, the combination of shitos. Kasavar kavsa Ein Zakukla, that if it goes out, you're not going to have to relight it anyway. So that's why you're allowed to use it during the weekday. We're not worried if it goes out. But you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos Chanukah because it's mutter to use the light, so we're afraid you might come to tilt it. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav, third Shita, Psilus of Shran of Shramachah, Main Madikim Ben Shabbos, Madikim Ben Chanukah, Bein Bechol, Bein B'Shabbos. You're allowed to use it both on a weekday and on Shabbos Chanukah, all of these different oils and these different wicks. Amar Rav Yirmiya, my time at the Rav. What's the svar for Rav? Why would you be allowed to use it both on weekday and on Shabbos Chanukah? Chasavar kavsa ein zakukla va'asur l'shtamish la'ora. Because he holds if it goes out, we're not worried about it. You don't have to relight it. So therefore, you could use an inferior wick during the week, and we're not worried if it goes out. You get your mitzvah anyway, and he holds asur l'shtamish la'ora. So on Shabbos, there's no concern that you might come to tilt the candle. Tosfos raises a very strong kasha on the first shita. The first shita we said was that you're not allowed to do it during the week or on Shabbos. Why? Because of the combination of kavsa zakukla and mutal l'shtamish la'ora. Let's say he just held kavsa zakukla. He just held that if it goes out, you have to relight it. Wouldn't that be enough reason to not be allowed to use this bein b'chol, bein b'Shabbos? I mean, he said, oh, kavsa zakukla, that's why you're not allowed to use it during the weekday, because if it goes out, we're afraid you might not relight it, and then you're not going to get the mitzvah. Well, wait a second. What if it goes out on Shabbos? Then you're definitely not going to relight it. And if you do relight it, you have bigger problems. So either way, whether you relight it or you don't relight it, you're going to have problems. Either you're not going to get the mitzvah, or you're going to be mechal Shabbos. So wouldn't that be enough reason to say that you're not allowed to light on Shabbos? How do we know that that Rav Huna holds mutar l'shtamish la'ora? Maybe Rav Huna only holds kavsa zakukla. So that's the kasha that Tosfos raises over here. And Tosfos says, now if it were all based on one idea, then he would have said that you're not allowed to use it bein b'chol, that he would have said you're not allowed to use it for Ner Chanukah. When he says bein b'chol, bein b'Shabbos, when he says bein b'chol, bein b'Shabbos, he seems to be suggesting that there are two distinct reasons for chol and for Shabbos. Otherwise, he just would have said ein madlikin ben stam. So it's the language that gives it away, not the idea that gives it away, not the shita, not the halachic shita. The language that he used by saying bein b'chol, bein b'Shabbos, that's what gives away that there's more than one. There's more than one concept at work over here. So vayter in the Gemara now, but seven lines in. Says the Gemara, Amrur Rabban Kaveda Abayi Mishmed Rabbi Yirmiya V'lo Kibla. The Rabban said this in front of Abayi in the name of Rabbi Yirmiya, and he was not Mekabelit. So when he said in the name of Rabbi Yirmiya, for some reason it didn't work. But when they said it over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, then he was mekabelit. Amr Izakai Gamirti Lishmaiti Meikara. And he says, if only I would have been Zocha, I wish I would have learnt this when I was younger. So says Mar Vagamra, but you learnt it now. So what kind of lament is that? I wish I would have. Now you know, so that's good. So you learnt it. So Nafkamina Ligirsa Diankasa. Nafkamina is if I would have learnt it when I was younger, I would know it better. Things that you learn when you're young seem to stick a lot better. That's called the Girsa Diankasa. Things that you learn when you're older, it's much, much harder to remember. That's why those early years in life are so critical in terms of determining what we remember, what we don't remember. Rav Silver was telling me over Shabbos that he once had a bechina from Rav Soloveitchik, where they studied all the lamdos and everything Rav Soloveitchik said over in Shir in the sugya in the second part of Pesachim about the Efshar v'lamachavin or whatever, and there were a bunch of rayas in the sugya, and Rav Soloveitchik said wrote on the bechina list all the rayas and the rejections of the rayas throughout the couple of dapim of Gemara that come up in the sugya. Very straightforward question. It says straight in the Gemara. None of the guys knew it, but he said he had learned it in high school. But he gives the diankasa, that which you learn when you're a little bit younger, that stuck with him. So from the high school shiur, that's what he remembered. A lot of times we remember things from when we're young much, much better. The kavsa ain't zakukla, says Gemara. Wait a second. If something goes out, ain't zakukla, is there really such shita that you don't have to relight the neiros chanukah when they go out? Ura minhi, I'll ask you a stira mitzvasa mishitishka achama ad shetichla regel min ashuk. The mitzvah of neir chanukah is from the time the sun sets until tichla regel min ashuk. My lavdi kavsa adar madukla. Doesn't that halacha mean that within that time frame, if it goes out, you do have to relight it? So how could you say kavsa ein zakukla? And says Gemara, lo, the lo adik madik. No, all that halacha means to tell you is that if you haven't yet lit the ner chanukah and it's still within that zman, you need to light it. But if you have lit it and it goes out, you don't need to relight it. The nami, or another possibility of what it's coming to tell me, is l'shiura. It's just coming to tell me how much oil you need in the Ner Chanukah, not when it has to be lit, but what the shear of oil is. That the shear of oil is the amount of time that it takes from Tishka Achama until Tichla Regel Menashuk. And the Cheshek Shlomo, in the back of the Gemara, he goes through four different shitos of what Mishatishka Achama means. What exactly is the ideal zman for Neros Chanukah? So he quotes the shitos Hatur and the Mordechai, that Sof Shkia Achrona, that Mishatishka Achama means, counterintuitively, Tseis HaKochavim, the end of the last Shkia, which means Tseis HaKochavim. Then he quotes the shitos HaRashba, the shita of the Ran, that it's the beginning of the Shkia Achrona, which is 3/4 of a meal before Tseis HaKochavim, about 18 minutes before Tseis HaKochavim. The third shita, the Bahag, that the Zman of the Tchilas Shkia Achrona, which is 2/3 of a meal, like Rav Yosef, and he goes through, that's a little bit of a more detailed machlokas, Rabbi and Rav Yosef, exactly how to do that cheshbon. And then the fourth shita is the shita of the Gra. The Gra holds Tchilas Shkia Rishona, which in other words is what we call Shkia, that Shkia is the proper Zman. And Arayom, there are different shitos of what the ideal Zman to light is, whether it's at Shkia, whether it's at Seis, whether it's close to Seis, all these different shitos Bir Alacha discusses all the different possibilities. Maritz Chayis also points out a language difficulty over here. We said Uraminhi. What are we saying Uraminhi? We said that there was an Amoru who held Kafsa Ein Zakukla, right? Rav Huna held Kafsa Ein Zakukla. So we're saying, how could you hold Kafsa Ein Zakukla? We have another statement of Amoraim, that Mishtishka Achama Atshtich L'Regel, we have a Brisa rather, Mishtishka Achama Atshtich L'Regel Menashuk. So Maritz Chayis just points out, the word Uraminhi never comes up in that context. Normally Uraminhi is when you have a steer between two Pesukim, steer between two Mishnais, steer between two Brises, or even if an Amora is Sosar himself from something he said somewhere else. But when you have a kasha on an Amora from a Brisa, we normally would use Lashon of Mesive, not Uraminhi. So just a sensitivity thing. He says, he just points out that if you're sensitive to the language, this is an unusual use of this terminology in our Gemara. So he said you should keep on lighting, or should still light if you haven't yet lit, until Tichla Regel Menashuk. The Ad Kama, how much is that? What's Tichla Regel? Amar Rabba Barbachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ad Dekal Yerigla De Tarmudai. It's when the Tarmudai people finish walking home from the market. Says Rashi, who are these Talmudai? Shem Uma Melakte Eitzim Dakin Umisakvin Beshuk Achaholchim Bnei Ashuk Lbateya Mishachashecha. It's the last people back from the marketplace. Talmudai is a certain nation. It's a non-Jewish group, non-Jewish nation, nationality. That their profession was that they would pick up small pieces of wood, and therefore they would stay in the market longer than anybody else, because everyone would have to buy wood from them. So to go home, to light their fires back at home, so they would stay in the market a little bit longer than anybody else. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out in Harei Kedem, Simukov Samach, says, you see from this Rashi, that the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa, Beinar Chanukah, is not only to be mefarsim the Nes to Jews, that even if you're able to be mefarsim the Nes to Goyim, it's still Pirsumei Nisa, because that's how we're defining the Zman. We're defining the Zman of Ner Chanukah by the Pirsumei Nisa Shabbat, by still having people walking around. But which people are still walking around? There aren't any Jews still walking around. It's only Goyim that are walking around. And you still see that's the definition of the Zman of Neros Chanukah. So it sounds like Pirsumei Nisa would work even if it's Goyim. Tan Rabbanan, Mitzvah Chanukah Nereshu Beso. The Iker Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is one candle per household. V'amahadrin Ner L'kol Echad V'Echad. You want to be Mahadr the Mitzvah, so you light one Ner for each and every person in the household. V'amahadrin Mina Mahadrin, and if you want to go super Mahadrin, V'Shami Yomrim Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona Mikan Ve'Elach. So Beishami says on day one you light 8 candles, and each day after that you light one less candle. That way anyone who looks at the menorah will be able to see what day of Chanukah it is. What we do, that we start, we light one, and then every day after that, we are mosif ha'olech, we add more candles. If you look at Tosos, v'mahadrin min ha'mahadrin, niru l'rid v'shami v'sil lo'kaimi, ela aner ishu beso, shekein yesh yoser hidur. It says Tosfos, when the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel say that it's the number of candles you light each night based on what day it is, they're not saying that Mahadrin min Mahadrin is that each person in the household should do that. No, the Mahadrin min Mahadrin works off of the Iker Mitzvah. It builds off of the Iker Mitzvah, does not build off of the Mahadrin. The Mahadrin is everybody in the house lights one. The Mahadrin min Mahadrin is has nothing to do with how many people are in the house. You have one menorah for the entire household. Just the number of candles should represent how many days of Chanukah it has been. Because the whole Hidur of the Mahadrin min Mahadrin is that people should be able to look at the Neros and see what day it is. But if people could look at your neros and see 15 candles, and they don't know if it's 5 people lighting 3 candles or 3 people lighting 5 candles, so it's not going to help them any. You're lacking the whole point of the Mahadrin min Mahadrin. So it says Tosfos, the Mahadrin min Mahadrin is to only have one menorah lit for everybody in the house. The Rambam is cholik on Tosfos. The Rambam says that no, you should light enough for everybody in the house to have the number of candles that correspond to the day of Chanukah that it is. Now that machlokas, Rama Mitosos, is a machlokas, Mechaber and Rama, about what you're supposed to do. So we happen to paskin like the Baliat, we happen to paskin like the Rambam. The Rama paskin like the Rambam. It's one of the unusual cases where the Mechaber paskins like the Baliatosos and the Rama paskins like the Rambam. It's a little bit reversed. Normally the Mechaber would paskin like the Rambam, like the Sephardic opinion, and the Rama would pass like the Baal HaTosfos. There is one difference between the Rama and the Rambam. The Rambam says that the Baal HaBayis lights all the candles corresponding to the number of people there are in the house and the number of days of Chanukah it is. Whereas when the Rama quotes, he doesn't say that the Baal HaBayis does all the lighting. He says that everybody should light. So that's one difference. But in terms of the number of candles, the Rama seems to be exactly like the Rambam. Amarula pligi batre. We could talk about this for forever and ever. I mean, there's so much written on that line and everything, every other line in the rest of this daf, but we've got to get through it. Amarula pligi batre amarai. There's machlokas to amaram b'marava in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yosi bar Avin, Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida. Machlokas to Rabbi Yosi bar Avin, Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida. Chad omer time to Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai say to go down in number? Kineged yam manichnasin. It's to correspond to the number of days that have already passed that have not yet passed in Chanukah. So on the first day we light 8 candles to show that we still have 8 days left of Chanukah. Second day 7 candles, etc. The time of the Beis Hillel connected Yom Mayotzin, and Beis Hillel is to correspond to the Yom Mayotzin, the days that have have already gone, that have already passed. V'chadam, and the other says, no, that's not what's behind the machlokas. Time to Beishamay connected Parei Achag. The reason for Beishamay is it's supposed to correspond to the Parei Achag that we mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, where you bring less bulls each day of the Chag. The time to Beisilel, the Malim B'Kodesh Vein Meridin. And Beis Hillel says that it's based on Malam Kodesh Vein Meridin, that you go up in Kedusha, so you light more candles. Does Beis Shammai reject the concept of Malam Kodesh Vein Meridin according to this? So no, you wouldn't say that Beis Shammai rejects the concept entirely. He rejects this application of the concept. Who says adding more candles is called Malam B'Kodesh? Where do we have a concept of Malam B'Kodesh Vein Meridin? That if you have something that has a certain Kedusha Chamura, let's say, you're not allowed to turn it into something else that has a Kedusha Kala. If you want to take the Aron Kodesh and turn it into a Svarim shelf, you would not be allowed to do that because it has a Malam B'Kodesh Vein Meridin. It has a more significant Kedusha. You're not allowed to turn it into something that has a lesser Kedusha. That's Beis Shammai would be Modeh. And the Cheftza itself, Malam B'Kodesh Vein Meridin. But to say that adding more numbers, adding more candles, he doesn't think that's called Malam B'Kodesh Vein Meridin. So those are the two versions of the two shitos about what's behind the machlokas. There were two zekinim in Sidon, echad asuk Beis Shammai ve'echad asuk Beis Hillel. One followed the shita of Beis Shammai and one followed the shita of the Beis Hillel. Zeno sintam ledvar of Kneged Pari Achag, Zeno sintam ledvar of the Malam B'Kodesh Vein Meridin. One of them said that the reason was Parei Achag, and the other one said, and that's why he went down in number like the Beis Shammai, and the one that did like the Beis Hillel said it's because of Malam B'Kodesh Vein Meridin, and that's why he went up in number. Tanu Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah mitzvah l'anicha al pasach beisul mibachutz. The mitzvah is to put Ner Chanukah by the outer part of the doorway to your house. Im hayadar ba'aliyah, if you live on a top floor, manichu b'chalon asmuch l'Rosh Hashanah, you put it by a window that's facing Rosh Hashanah. U'bishas asakana manichu al shulchan v'dayo. But if it's a time of danger, and you can't put it outside because it's dangerous to do so, there are gzeros that are made against the Jewish people, so then you put it on your table inside your house and that's good enough. Amar Rava, Sarich Nera Cheres L'Shtamish L'Ora. If you're going to put it on your table, you need to have another candle to use that you can actually use the light from. Because otherwise it's not going to be nicker that this is a Ner Chanukah. It will just look like it's your regular light that you have in your house. In order to make it very clearly recognizable that it's Ner Chanukah, you have to have a regular light plus this candle on your table. Now, if there's a bonfire, if there's a large flame, a torch, then you don't have to worry about having another Ner. But if the person is an Adam Chashuv, and even when he has a madura, you're still going to require another ner. My Chanukah, probably the two most famous words in the whole Masechta. My Chanukah, what is the basis of Chanukah? The Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa as follows. B'chafei b'kislev, on the 25th day of Kislev, yomi d'chanukah t'manya inun. There are 8 days of Chanukah, d'lola mispid b'hon, d'lola s'anos b'hon. Where the halacha is, you're not allowed to say a hesped, and you're not allowed to fast on these 8 days. Why do we have 8 days? Shekshenichnus yivanim lahechal, because when the yivanim came into the hechal, timu kol hashmanim shebehechal. They were metame, all of the oil in the hechal. U'kshagavr malchus beis chashmonai, and when the malchus beis chashmonai was able to save the Beis HaMikdash, to get back the Beis HaMikdash for Natzchum, and they were able to overpower the Yevanim. They found only one little jug of oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. So Tosus just points out, wait a second, what does it help that it has the seal of the Kohen Gadol? There goes around Gayim that a Gay has the din of a Zav. A Zav is metame things behesit, which would mean if you have a sealed container and a Zav just shakes it, it's tame. So you could find it with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, but if a Gay has Tuma Zav, it's anyway going to be tame, even if it is totally sealed. So Tosus says, you have to say that it was munach b'chosam b'karka shalosito akli, that the seal was in the ground, that you could see that it was still stuck into the ground and that they had never removed it from the ground. Because if they had even just lifted it up off of the ground, it would have already been tameh. If this was after the gezeira that they decided that a nachri has the din of a zav. The other possibility is the story happened before there were gozer that a nachri has the din of a zav. Anyway, v'lo hayubo el lahadlik yom echad. The Gemara said they only had enough oil to light for one day. Nasabonei, so a miracle happened. V'liku mimenu shmona yamim, and they were able to light from it for 8 days. L'shana acharei, so the next year, kavim v'asom yom tovim b'halal v'odah. They decided to make it a day of halal v'odah for Klal Yisrael. So obviously the famous kasha everybody asks, the and all of the achronim in the back of this gemara ask it as well. The Maritz Chayis deals with it, and the Cheshek Shlomo Hakushya Mufor Semes Bayom Arishon Lo Hayabo Neis. There was no Neis on day one. Why do we have 8 days of Chanukah? There should only be 7 days of Chanukah. So there are svarim with 100 answers now, 300 answers. I believe there's one with 500 answers now to this question. But the original Ner Lameya was the one with 100 answers to this question. But says the Maritz Chayis in a way that only the Maritz Chayis would find. He says Anochi Matzasi Inyan Chadash B'Megillas Tainis. Says I found something that no one else found. Megillas Tainis that asks this question explicitly. He says the question is asked explicitly. It was only 7 days. So in B'Yimei Malchus Yavan, they went into the Heichal. It goes through the whole story, and they said, and the way the Megillas Tainis tells the story is that they found Shmona Shvudin Shel Barzel V'Kavu Osam V'Hidlik Bem Neros. The menorah wasn't there either. They had to make a makeshift menorah, and there were 8 Shvudin Shel Barzel, 8 iron spits that they were able to use as a makeshift menorah. The miracle wasn't in the oil only. The miracle was in finding a menorah to use. It was in finding something to light in the first place. And they found 8 spits connected. So that itself was the reason why they decided 8 and they lit candles and all 8 spits. Not as a menorah. They had the menorah, but they lit 8 extra candles. And that itself was a miracle that they found these 8 shvudin shel barzel. That's what it says in the Megillas. The least geschmack answer probably of all the answers, but that's what it says in the Megillas Tainis.